good, isn't he? Amen. All the time. What a God we serve. I think about that even in the valleys, God's good. That means in the hard times. In the times when you think, well, I don't understand this, Lord. He's still good. And he's the God on the mountaintops, the God in the valleys, the God of the good times, the God of the bad times. He's just God all the time. And he never changes. He's always the same. And I thank the Lord for him. If you would take your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. While you're finding your place, if you'd stand with me as we read the Word of God, if you're able to. Ephesians chapter number 2. And then hold your place there and flip over to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. We're going to start out in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And then we'll flip over to Romans chapter 10. So hold your finger in Romans and flip back over to Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm going to read two verses for you, very, very familiar verses in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And then we'll flip over to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, very familiar verses there as well. And these verses I want to talk to you, our theme this year has been faith that moves mountains. And I just believe, I said it Wednesday night, I believe we could preach on faith every all year long and not touch the hem of the garment of what the Bible teaches about faith. And so we're going to talk about faith again this morning. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God," verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Hold your finger there. Flip over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're going to start reading in verse number 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Listen, that's a good thing that'll just squash Calvinism right there. Okay? Because it says there's no difference between Jew or Greek. Listen, it don't matter what color you are. It don't matter where you've come from. It don't matter your background. It's all because of Jesus anyway. And so don't forget about that, okay? Verse 12, or actually verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm going to preach a message to you this morning entitled, "What is saving faith?" What is saving faith? There's a lot of people that trust in a prayer. There's a lot of people that believe in, you know, you have to do certain things. Confess your sin to a priest. There's a lot of different works that people have tried to do to see themselves saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." So what is saving faith? And we're going to dissect that here this morning. We're going to talk about that. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He says now is the day of salvation. Okay, you need to trust Him today. And if you are saved, you ought to be glad that you are saved. And see what the Bible says in Rome, in the later part of Romans chapter 10. It said, how shall they hear without a preacher? That doesn't mean you need to be the pastor of a church. That doesn't mean that you need to be an evangelist full-time or a missionary full-time. What that means is you need to be a full-time soul winner preaching the gospel of peace to people. And that's what the Bible says you need to be doing. Okay, so what is saving faith is what we're going to preach on this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for the Word of God. Thank You for how You use it to mold us and shape us into what You want us to be. Thank You that You allow us to have the truth. We're not deceived by a lie or by a false teacher or false preacher. That we have the truth of the Word of God. And I thank You for the Word that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and how the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we thank You, Jesus, that You came to this earth, that You left Your splendors of heaven, and You came down to this earth willingly to take my place and to die on the cross for me. And Lord, not only for me, but for the sins of the whole world. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's been fighting with salvation and yielding their life to you, I pray that you'll soften them up today. I pray that you'll use them and that you'll, Lord, just break their heart. Help them to trust you here today. Lord, the greatest decision I ever made was when I yielded myself to you and I accepted you as my Savior. Thank you that you drew me into yourself and that you didn't leave me to die. Lord, thank you that you called all men unto yourself. And Lord, you said that whosoever will may come. And Lord, I pray that you'll allow us to see more souls saved and more lives changed. And we thank you so much for the privilege we have of serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. What is saving faith? As I read through the book of Ephesians and I came down to chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it's very familiar verses, verses that we quote quite often. It's verses we have as defense on salvation is not by works. And the Bible specifically says here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of who? Yourself. That means that there's nothing you can do, no work on your own that you can do to get to heaven. There's nothing that you have to complete to finish the work that needs to be done for you to go to heaven. So for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That means it's something that somebody else paid for, that God paid for and gave to you. That's what it means. A gift is something someone else pays for and gives to you. But a gift can only become yours if you'll do what? Receive it. If you'll accept it. If you'll take it. So what is saving faith? See, this faith that it's talking about, for by grace are you saved through faith. Firstly, I want you to see that it is a faith which calls upon the Lord. It's a faith that calls upon the Lord. Listen, you're not calling Allah. Okay? You're not calling Buddha. Okay? You're not calling a false god. You're not calling out to a man. You're not calling out to anyone else. You're calling out to God. It is a faith that calls upon the Lord. Look what it says in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. That whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Is that what it said? Did it say if you were good enough that day and you called upon the Lord, then you'll be saved? No. It said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's as clear as a promise that I know. That's pretty clear to me, Brother Shane. If he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what, Brother Doug? I can call upon your name all day long and I'll still die and go to hell. You know what? Brother Doug loves the Lord. He's our RU director. You can look at Brother Doug all day long and say, you know what? If I'm going to follow after Brother Doug. I'm going to do what Brother Doug wants. Brother Doug, you must be the way. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, preacher, most of us in this room are saved. Yes, but there may be one that's not. There may be somebody here today that's been in church their whole life. And they've been trusting in coming to church. They've been trusting in their good works. They've been trusting in something else. But that is not saving faith. Saving faith is someone who will call upon the Lord. It's calling upon Him, the only one who can save you. It's calling upon the Lord in Romans 10:13. Secondly, saving faith is believing from the heart. It's not just calling upon the Lord, but it is believing in your heart. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Again, that word shall. Thou shall be saved. So saving faith is calling upon the Lord, Brother Tim, but it's also believing from the heart. They have to be together. They have to go together. It's not just calling upon the Lord. What causes us to call upon the Lord is the belief in our heart. The belief in our heart. See, the Bible doesn't say just that whosoever shall call. He shows you in that whole passage, even before he gets to that point, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what calling upon the Lord shows? It shows the outward confession of the inward change that just took place. I believe that there's a lot of people that get saved, Brother Travis, right there in their seat before they ever take a step out of it and come down to this altar. Because they believed in their heart what Jesus Christ said He would do. They believed in their heart that if they called upon Him and asked Him to be their Savior, they believed they were a sinner. They believed their sin had a penalty. They believed they couldn't pay it on their own. They believed that Jesus Christ came and died for their sin. They believed that He was buried and that He rose again. And they put their faith and trust in Him and believed in their heart and then called upon the Lord. Saving faith is a belief in the heart. Listen, I remember growing up. I grew up in a Christian home. My granddad was a pastor. My Uncle Howard, he was a preacher. My dad kept me in church. He worked with the youth a lot. He helped. We were in church all the time. I never had to wonder where we were going on Sundays. I tell people I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was drugged there all the time. That's what I tell people. Listen, I was there all the time. But just because I was in church all the time does not mean I was going to heaven. And just because when I was 5 years old, I prayed a prayer, but I didn't understand what I was doing. I didn't understand that there had to be a belief in my heart and there had to be a drawing of the Holy Spirit unto Himself. There had to be a conviction of sin and realizing the life that I was living wasn't pleasing to God and that I couldn't save myself. I just said some words. But then there was a day when I turned 22 years of age that the Lord knocked on my heart's door again. And He drew me into Himself, Miss Lisa. And I remember that day was different. I didn't just know it here. I believed it here. And it was that belief in my heart that saved me. And I called upon the Lord, showing the outward confession of the inward change that took place. You know what? My life's never been the same. You know what? I grew up in a Christian home. I never did drugs. I never smoked. I never drank. I never did any of that. But that's not... Just because somebody does that doesn't mean that that's why they're a sinner. You know what? They're born sinners. I was born a sinner. You were born a sinner. Just because I may not have done those things and you have, we were no different in the eyes of God. We were all sinners. You say, what? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we all were sinners, and we fall short in and of ourselves of what's expected to get to heaven. That's why He says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Because you know what? If I was good enough to get myself to heaven, I could boast about it. I could say, see how good I am. But in Sunday school class, we've been talking about pride. We've been talking about what pride is. You know what pride is? Pride is saying, God, I don't need You. I can do it on my own. God, I can get my own self to heaven. I don't need You. That's pride. Because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. You know what it takes to believe in your heart? That faith, that saving faith, it takes humility. It takes humility. I don't believe somebody can genuinely be saved without being humble. I don't believe it. I don't believe a proud person can come up here and say, yeah, I'm going to get saved. I believe you've got to have a tender heart when you get saved. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to grind that heart into powder. And there's going to be that humility that knows that I'm nothing and I can't do it on our own. Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us that. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not about you. It's about Him. So what is saving faith? It is faith that calls upon the Lord. Secondly, it's faith that is believing from the heart. Thirdly, it is faith which believes that Christ died and rose from the dead. I know we already touched on this a little bit, but listen, it's not just believing that you're a sinner. That's only part of it. Guess what? It's not just believing that He died. Because that's not all of the gospel. It's not just believing that Jesus walked sinless on this earth. It's believing the whole counsel of God that He said He lived sinless. He was perfect, spotless, had the blood of God flowing through His veins. He was perfect in all. He was tempted like we were, yet without sin, the Bible says. And because He was perfect, He could be that spotless lamb. And we believe in that. And it's not just believing that He lived sinless. It's not just believing that He died and shed His blood for you and I. It's also believing that when He died, for those 3 days, He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and He rose from the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You know why that's important? Because He's not a dead God. That's why it's important. If you can't believe that He rose from the grave, you're not going to believe that He died for your sins. Because you have to believe the whole counsel of it. You have to believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, how do I be saved? You got to have saving faith. Well, what is saving faith? It's faith that will call upon the Lord. It's faith that believes from the heart. But it not only do you believe in the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, but you believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I'm glad I don't have a statue God. I'm glad I don't have to put a rag out and kneel to the east and pray to the east how many times a day. I'm glad that I serve a living Savior and He's in the world today. People say, I know that He is living. Whatever men may say, how? I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. You know why? Because He lives. He lives. You say, well, how do you know He lives? Read that book. You'll see how alive He is. Listen, if you're saved and you're walking with Him and communing with Him, you'll see how alive He is. He talks to you. Listen, He may not come in an audible voice and say, Jeff Mills, this is what I want you to do. But as you read in the Bible, that Holy Spirit of God begins to prick your heart. And it becomes alive as you read it. And as you begin to read through these things, you know why? Because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a child of God and you put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're believing that you have a living Savior and that He's alive forevermore. You know why that's important? Because He said He was going to rise from the grave. He did exactly what He said He was going to do. And if we can believe that He died because He said He was going to, that He was buried and rose again because He said He was going to, we can believe that He's going to save us when we ask Him to. You know why? Because He said He would. He can't lie. Can God lie? No. Because if He could lie, then He couldn't be God. God cannot lie. But what is saving faith? It's faith that will call upon the Lord. It's faith that believes from the heart. It's faith that believes that Christ died and rose from the dead. What else is saving faith? It is faith which believes that Christ can, will, and do. It's Christ can, will, and does, and has forgiven our sins. He has forgiven. You know why? Because He said He would. He said He would. Look at Luke chapter 7, if you would, please. Luke chapter 7, verse 48 through 50, it says, and He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with Him, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. What is saving faith? It is faith that believes that Christ can, will, and does, and has forgiven our sins. Listen, too many times we dwell on the past. We dwell on the past. Listen, if you're saved in here today, understand, anything that happened before you got saved has been under the blood. It's gone. All of your sins, past, present, and future, are under the blood. But everything up to this point that you've done, none of that can stop you from getting saved. You know why? Because He said He'll save you if you'll confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and you'll call upon the Lord and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. And you know what He told this woman in Luke chapter 7? He said, thy sins are forgiven. That word, Brother Shane, forgiven. You talked about that last week. Forgiven. Forgiven. You know what that word forgiven means? That doesn't mean that he can't remember them. It means He chooses not to. It means that because we've confessed our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe God, don't we? Then why do we keep letting the devil bring up our past and say, you know what, you're not saved because you did this? Listen, if we genuinely trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, you can look at that devil face to face and tell him, listen, when I asked Jesus to be my Savior, He said that it was in the past, it was under the blood, and it's forgiven, get away from me. But too many times, we just let the devil win. And we start believing him, and guess what happens? We begin to doubt. We begin to doubt. You know why? Because we believe a lie. But if you genuinely put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believed in your heart, you called upon the Lord, you knew that He died, buried, and rose again from the grave. You put your faith and trust in the whole gospel, not just in a prayer, not just in words that you said. It said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession of man. They're both equally important. You got to believe what you're asking. You can't just ask something. You actually got to believe it. But if you've genuinely done that, listen, He said that they're under the blood, they're forgiven. It's forgiven. He said old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That means you don't have to live the way you used to live. You don't have to act the way you used to act. You don't have to think the way you used to think. Why? Because you're set in a new direction. You're able to go on for God. Whatever was back here that was hindering you before has been placed on Jesus' shoulders. It's gone. It's out of the way. And you can keep on going to serve the Lord. That's exciting to me. There's a couple people that's exciting too. The things that used to hinder you, the things that stopped you from being able to go to heaven and spend eternity face to face with God are gone. That's exciting to me. You know what? You guys have heard me say this before, but you know what would be worse than going to hell? It's separation from God forever. But you know what salvation brings? It brings a union and joins us together. The Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus. That means I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a royal descendant. People say, are you royalty? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And you know why? Because of Jesus. Because of what He did for you and I. We don't have to be limited by our past because we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You say, well, preacher, what happens if we sin after we get saved? Same thing that happened to me when I sinned after I was born into my father's family. Guess what? No matter how much he may have gotten mad at me, he could have told me, Dan, you're not my son anymore. He never did. I'm sure he probably wanted to a couple times. But he never said, Dan, you're not my son anymore. But if he had, nothing he could ever do would change my bloodline. Nothing he could ever do. I still had Caldwell blood flowing through my veins. And no matter how much he tried, I'm still a son. And there's nothing he could change. You know what happened? It wasn't a family that was broken apart. That's not what happens. It's a fellowship that's broken. You understand, when I disobeyed my dad, there was fellowship that was broken. I enjoyed hanging out with my dad. I enjoyed going hunting with my dad. I enjoyed all that. But when I did something I wasn't supposed to do, I didn't want to have fellowship with dad. Because it wasn't a sweet reunion. We didn't have good times during that. He applied the Board of Education to the seat of learning, okay? And I got the hint. I didn't like those things when I would dread, I hope dad has to work overtime. Maybe, you know what, maybe he'll get home at 11:30 or 12 at night. I'll already be sleeping, and then I'll be off for school the next day. That's what you wished for. Why? Because that fellowship wasn't sweet. You know why? Because I disobeyed my dad. And when you get saved, guess what? It's the same exact thing. When you get saved, you're always a child of God. Because He says it's eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, understand this. If you could lose your salvation, those verses right there prove that God's a liar. If you could lose your salvation. But the fact of the matter is, you can't. You know why? Because He says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Read John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know what? I'm secure on my salvation. You know why? Because not only am I held in Jesus' hand, but God the Father does this. And you know what He says? He says His right hand spans the heavens. You think all the galaxies and everything that they've ever experienced, now they're saying there's something else beyond Pluto. Okay? There's things that they can't even imagine. Scientists have proven that a person's span is from the tip of their pinky to this. That means God can go like this to everything. He goes like this to everything. And if you think you can get out of his hand, you start walking. And when you get there, you tell me when you get to the end of it. It ain't going to happen. You know why? Because you're sealed until the day of redemption. You're on your way to heaven. Now, that's not a license to sin. Understand, that's not a license to sin. He says, use not our freedom from sin as an occasion to the flesh. Okay, you're supposed to live for your heavenly Father. But what is saving faith? It's a faith that calls upon the Lord. It's a faith that believes from the heart. It is a faith which believes that Christ died and rose from the dead. It's a faith that believes that Christ can, will, and does, and has forgiven our sins. It's a faith that received Jesus Christ. Not only believing it, but accepting it. Accepting it. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible's the Word of God, correct? A couple people said amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible's the Word of God, correct? Okay, so saving faith is a faith which has received Jesus Christ. Look what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as what? Received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Saving faith is a faith which calls upon the Lord. It's a faith that believes from the heart. It is a faith that believes that Christ died and rose from the dead. It is a faith that believes that Christ can, will, and does, and has forgiven our sins. But it's also a faith which received Jesus Christ. Listen, if I believe it, and I call upon Him, and I've received it unto myself, that gift of God. Listen, the gift is always, it's been there. It's paid for. It's ready for you. But you have to receive it. He said, to as many as received, you have to receive it. Just because you've been purchased, just because He paid the debt for you, just because all of it's already been cared for, it's nothing that you've done on your own, it's all about what He's done, you still have to receive it. And if you're here today, you may say, well, preacher, I know that you're right, but I'm not ready to receive it today. You know, there's been several times, Brother Doug, I've knocked on doors. And people say, I say, would you like to trust Him as your Savior? I'd like to, but I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready yet. I don't know about you, but if I knew for sure that I could go to heaven, I'd be ready for that. I'd be excited about that. That I wouldn't have to die and go to hell and be separated from God forever and ever and ever. If I knew there was a 100% surefire way that I could go to heaven, I got plenty of time for that. And there was a day that I received it. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And my life's never been the same. You know why? Because I'm sealed until the day of redemption. I'm on my way to heaven. But you know what I had to do? I had to receive it. And if you're here today, you may know that it's true. But you've got to receive it. You might say, well, I'm young. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell folks, I've spent 3 years as a police officer, for some of you that don't know. There's been several times I've had to knock on the door of a mom and a dad and tell them their child wasn't coming home. Life snuffed out from under them just like that. Did they know that was going to happen that day? No, they didn't. Every second that we're in here, somebody in the world is dying. It could be you next. The Bible says life is a vapor. Here for a while and vanisheth away. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. I'm not, you're not, none of us are. Because guess who holds our tomorrow? God does. And God brought you here today for a reason. Maybe you're here and you've never genuinely trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He might say, this is your last chance. Now is the time. And if you don't trust Him, it's not because He's a mean God that wants to send people to hell. It's because you rejected the gift of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in a God that would send anyone to hell. God's never sent anyone to hell except Satan and them, but Satan made his own choice. We send ourselves there by rejecting him. He made a way that we don't have to. And Jesus is that way. And we have to believe on him. We have to believe on him. It's a faith that receives Jesus Christ. It's also a faith that will commit ourselves to Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12, wherefore he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Listen, we need to commit ourselves unto him every day. Every day. If you are saved in here, listen, you need to commit yourself to him every day. Every day. Every day. Commit yourself to God. You know why? Because we still battle that same flesh every day. Every day. Listen, that saving faith, that faith that I trusted in Jesus, asking him to save me, did not make me perfect. I don't believe in sinless perfection. Okay, there's a lot of people that preach, once you're saved, you can never sin again. Everything you do is perfect in the eyes of God. And you see them guzzling down booze and doing whatever they want to do, and they say, well, God's okay with it because it's all under the blood. That's a lie. Every day of our life, we need to commit ourselves to him. Paul said, I die daily. That means that he humbled himself every day and committed himself to God. And that's what we need to do. You want to know how to get victory over sin? Commit yourself to God every day. Put yourself back here and exalt God where he needs to be. Saving faith. Saving faith. It's a faith that commits oneself to God. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Actually, verse 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is saving faith? It's a faith that confesses Christ as Savior. Listen, if you're saved, you ought not to be ashamed to confess him. You ought not to be. If you're not in here, if you're in here and you're not saved, you need to ask him to be your Savior. You need to trust him today. If you are saved, you ought to be able to confess him openly to other people. You ought to be willing to do that. You know what he says about us being ashamed of him? What's he say? If we're ashamed of him, he'll what? He'll be ashamed of us before his Father, which is in heaven. Why are we so ashamed to tell folks about the greatest decision they can ever make in their life? Brother Jim, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. The greatest day of my life was the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The greatest day of my life. So why should we be embarrassed to tell folks about it? Well, they might laugh at me. Would you rather them laugh at you, or would you rather them die and go to hell? You understand, if you're not willing to tell them, their blood's going to be on your hands. I'm talking about your family members. I'm talking about your friends. I'm talking about your coworkers and your neighbors. I'm talking about all those people that you see on a daily basis. That person right next to you at the gas station. They're all a soul that Jesus died for. Just like he died for you. But a lot of times we're too busy. Because we don't want to confess him openly. We're undercover Christians. We wear our Jesus first pin inside the coat. When we find somebody else like we are, we say, hey, I'm on your side. That's not how we ought to be. Listen, the Muslims aren't bashful about what they believe. The Muslims aren't bashful. We hear it all over the place. They're not bashful. Brother Mickey, they're not. And guess what? The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not bashful. The Mormons, they're not bashful. Why is it that as Baptists, we have the truth of the Word of God, but we're bashful about telling people. Because guess what? It's not Jehovah's Witness doctrine that gets you to heaven. It's not Muslim faith that's going to get you to heaven. It's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not anybody but Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we have the truth of the Word of God. We have the authority of God's Word to take to people's lives, to tell them how they can go to heaven, to show them that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior, and explain to them what Jesus did in our life and how He changed us and He made old things pass away and all things become new. And we can have that joy and excitement about serving Him, but we hide it from folks. And the Bible says, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But it said, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Guess what? I just determined I'm going to be one of those preachers that they're going to hear from. Every month, we have our sermons get uploaded onto Sermon Audio. I thank Travis for doing that because I'm not computer savvy at all. He helps us with that. He puts our sermons on Sermon Audio. This past month, I was thrilled. Because people can just click on our website and listen to sermons and things that are going on. You know, this past month, we had 29 different states and 19 different countries listen to sermons from this church. Amen. Listen, the gospel's getting out. You say, preacher, doesn't that scare you that people over in Iraq are listening to you? No, absolutely not. You know why? Because they need to know that Jesus Christ loves them, that He died on the cross for them, that He wants them to go to heaven. And I don't care if they're Muslim, I don't care if they're Buddhist, I don't care if they're pagans, I don't care who they are, they're sinners just like you were, and they all need a Savior just like you did, and we have the truth of the Word of God, but we hide it because we think, oh, we're too good for that. I'm saved and I'm good enough. Listen, the only reason God left you here on this earth once He saved you is to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow Him every day in fellowship with Him. That's why you're here. It's not so that you can get all your possessions. It's not so that you can be popular amongst the crowd. Guess what? I'm not a very popular preacher, especially in Salisbury. I forget what I was called, Brother Shane. What was that word? Do you remember? I'm an imperialist. You know what that means? That means that by military force, I force you all to comply. Because that's what the Roman emperor did. He forced them to comply. You know why people say that? Because I preach standards. You know why people say that? Because I preach about holiness. You know why people say that? Because I preach about yielding yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and making yourself nothing and making Him everything. And people don't like that because it's all about them. Preachers don't like hearing that. You know why? Because they think if they stand up here that they're building their own empire and they ought to be popular amongst the crowd. I don't care about being popular. I want to see people go to heaven. I want to see people love the Lord. I want to see people love God so much that they're willing to do whatever they have to do to serve Him. That's what our goal ought to be. My goal as your pastor ought to be to point you to God. Not to be your best buddy. Not to tell you what you want to hear, but to tell you what God says. And so that you can know Him better. Listen, every one of us know the only way to go to heaven is by Jesus Christ. That's what saving faith is. And we have that. We need to share that with everybody else. Listen, you may say, well, I've never led anybody to Christ. I don't even know how. Listen, we go soul winning on Saturdays. You got to come out. I'll go with you. I'll show you what to do. You say, preacher, I don't know the verses. Guess what? We'll put them all down for you. We have gospel tracts in the back that already have all the verses in there. If you know how to read, all you have to do is open it up and read it to somebody. And guess what? If you're saved in this room, you know how you got saved. You know how you got saved. You may not know the verses, but you know what happened. You know that you realized you were a sinner. And you realized your sin had a penalty that you could not pay. And you realized that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for you, that He died, buried, and was rose again. And you put your faith and trust believing in Him, asking Him to save you. And He said that that you shall be saved. And that day He did exactly what He said He would do, and He saved you. And that's all you have to do is tell people that. Yes. Because guess what? That's the gospel. And guess what has the power of God? The gospel. It's not you. You know what bothers me? Is when a bunch of soul winners go and say, I led 47 people to the Lord this week. Because I'm such a great soul winner. Come with me and this will happen. No. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's His Word that doesn't return void. You know what? That's how lost folks can lead people to Christ. Because I led people to the Lord before I ever got saved. You know why? Because it wasn't about me. It was about the Word of God that penetrates people's hearts. It was about God's Word that cuts inside of them and shows them where they really are. And the Word of God is what is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's what doesn't return void. And it has the power of God, the gospel. That's what we need to preach to people, is the gospel. Listen, if you've never led anybody to Christ, let me challenge you. Go on a mission. A mission to lead somebody to the Lord this year. Even if it's one person, lead somebody to Christ. When you see the broken heart and you see the joy that comes in their life when they trust Christ as their Savior, guess what it makes you want to do? Do it again. Because you see somebody whose life was on a train wreck, headed for disaster. But then Jesus came. And they put their faith and trust in Him. And they did a complete 180 and went this direction for God. What a blessing that is. But let me challenge you this. If you lead somebody to Christ, get them in church. Explain to them about baptism. Disciple them. I think we forget that part of it. See, they're babes in Christ when they get saved. And none of us here, hopefully, would leave a baby outside by themselves. Especially when it's cold. You know what we try to do? We try to nurture them. You see grown men, Brother Coggins, act like little children when babies are around. They're like, these little babies. You know, they just turn us into mush. Why don't we allow young Christians to do that to us? Hey, come here, let me help you. Hey, let me show you what you need to do. You know what? We're all, hey, this is how you walk. Come on. Little Asa, we watch him waddle around and fall down. Now he's getting around pretty good. You know what? Because it takes work. It takes growth. It takes feeding. It takes growing. It takes this. It takes some guidance and some help. One day, mom and dad are going to say, I don't get to help them much anymore. They're doing it all on their own. And that's how it needs to be spiritually. When we lead somebody to Christ, we ought to be training them up and training them up and training them up so that they can take it and reproduce it to somebody else. What is saving faith, though? It's faith that calls upon the Lord. It's faith that believes from the heart. It's a faith which believes that Christ died and rose from the dead. It is a faith that believes that Christ can, will, and does, and has forgiven our sins. It's a faith that which received Jesus Christ. It is a faith which commits itself oneself to Christ, and it is a faith that confesses Christ as Savior. Listen, when you got saved, you ought not to be ashamed. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. You ought to be bold for the things of God. If we were all bold for the things of God, you understand we would have to build a new auditorium. You know why? Because we couldn't fit the people in here that would be coming. Because we would all be sharing the gospel with folks. And people would be getting saved. And they'd be growing. And they'd be winning people to Christ. And it would just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. But why doesn't it? Why does it seem like sometimes it goes like this and just plateaus? It's because we get comfortable where we're at. And we just say, God, it's us four, no more. You know, we're comfortable right here. No, we ought not to be comfortable with how many souls we've reached. We ought to keep going. I'm not comfortable with only bringing 11 kids on one bus. I want to bring 111 kids on a bus. You say, preacher, they're not supposed to be that many. Well, then we'll have to get two of them. Praise the Lord. What? Well, because we need to keep compelling them to come. We need to keep getting people to church. And how do we do that? We spread the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, now is the appointed time. Now's the time. You need to get saved today. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking.